Grace and peace in the name of Jesus the Christ to all who have joined us for our first in-person worship service at Mayflower Congregational Church in Lansing, Michigan in nearly 15 months. Welcome back. And to all who continue to join us online, we offer that same Mayflower welcome and the Spirit in the name of Christ. I'm Pastor Mark McCormick, joined by our entire worship team, production staff, lay leader, and members and friends of Mayflower, to bring you one of the most anticipated services in recent memory. You have to forgive me if I have trouble getting through this here today, folks. A big thank you to all who have watched online, and for all of your continued support to the ongoing ministry of our church through your prayers, your service, your skills, and your generous financial support. God bless you, Mayflower. The scriptures encourage us not to neglect the assembling of ourselves together. But now we have a more visceral understanding of our loss during this time when we've been away. However, we have gained a deeper understanding of the importance of online ministry for those who are unable to come for whatever reason. With that, a few reminders about our ongoing concerns for safety. All of the risks for COVID have not been mitigated and, like many other diseases, may be with us for the foreseeable future. So, erring on the side of caution, we are asking all of you for now to wear a mask while you are in the building. There will be, the exception to that will be up here in the platform, especially when we're speaking. For now, we are also discouraging congregational singing, and again, we will not be using our hymnals. The congregation will remain seated during the entire worship service. For some of you, that will be a great blessing. The words to our hymns are printed as in your bulletin, and as you may have noticed, offering plates have been placed on the front pew and at the rear of the sanctuary, through the double doors. If you have come with an offering today, you can place it in the plate as you leave. We will be including the symbolic giving of tithes and offerings without passing the plates in our worship today, and the doxology will be played on the piano as we express our gratitude to God for all that God has done for us in the sustaining work of the gospel, even in our physical absence. As you peruse the bulletin, you will also notice that we will not be observing the sacrament of Holy Communion, which we would normally do on the first Sunday of the month. So we have included, or one of the reasons for that is we have included extra music today and a time of recognition in the service. So in the interest of time, we will be observing communion next week, and that may be a good incentive for us to come back together. Please review the guidelines you were given as you entered the building. You will also have the opportunity, and we encourage you to take it to the updated facilities at the close of the service. And keeping a reasonable social distance, you can make your way through the lobby and into the Friendship Center, as it has now been named, which will be helpful at the close of the service. Kim and Lorraine Finneson will be there to answer any questions you may have about the new decorations and some of the things that have been changed and beautified. So take that opportunity. And I'd like to thank Meredith Kennedy and Barb Fuller for the cookie that you will receive as you leave today. And there are always a few people that come to church because of the cookie. Me included. Just one of the reasons we come to church. You will also have an opportunity to greet our leadership team in the parking lot. They may be a little bit shorter today because of the heat outside, but we thank God for the air conditioning that was placed in this sanctuary some years ago, again, because of the faithful giving and generous support of this congregation that has gone on for years. One change in your bulletin today, Gail Sawyer is our liturgist. Let us now worship God.
Thank you. Good morning, Mayflower. It has been a long, long journey through the wilderness of a worldwide pandemic. Excuse me. So it is with a great sense of joy that we say, welcome back. It is so good to see all of you today, including several visitors who have joined us for this special reunion service. Perhaps we shall never take our worship opportunities for granted again. And although there are some restrictions yet in place, in the continuing interest of your safety, we trust that this will be a small price to pay for our first time back in what seems like an eternity. We also offer our prayers for those who cannot worship in person for reasons of health, and trust that our online presence will offer a connection to God and to our Mayflower family. May this special service of worship be a blessing to all of you, whoever you are and wherever you are along this journey we call life. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Eternal God and merciful Lord, we offer our deepest gratitude to you for this long anticipated day. Thank you, O God, for hearing our prayers and for answering our prayers. In all of our outward happiness and joy today, we ask you to remind us that nothing has changed about your promise to be with us always, no matter what. We thank you for helping us to be creative in finding ways to experience spiritual togetherness, even during our physical distance. We thank you for the incredible faithfulness and generosity of your people. We thank you for our worship team and production staff who have ministered faithfully as they have learned the skill and art of singing, speaking, and preaching into a camera. Thank you, Lord, for helping us during this most difficult time. Help us to bask in the goodness of God, which is uniquely expressed in the love we feel for and from each member of the body of Christ. We pray this in the name and in the spirit of Jesus the Christ. Amen. It is my extreme joy to honor the hardworking volunteers who donated their abundant energy, countless hours of their time, and their creative ideas into completing the renovations here at Mayflower Church. The decorating committee members, Marcia Hacker, Barb Fuller, Pastor Mark, and myself, and our honorary member, Kim Finneson, spearheaded the remodeling project. Perhaps the pandemic was a blessing in disguise, as it gave us time to design, plan, and finish the updates. The list of changes that I've made is long, but I will mention some of them, and you can see them for yourselves on your tour after church. The room dividers were removed from the Friendship Center, formerly called the Social Hall, which made the room a lot more spacious and welcoming. The Friendship Center, the lobby, and both restrooms have all been completely repainted. The old blinds were removed in the Friendship Center and replaced with fresh, colorful curtains. New flooring was put down in the lobby and the restrooms. New ceiling panels were installed in the lobby ceiling. A welcome sign was installed in the lobby, and there are new signs above the sanctuary door and the Friendship Center. Tom and Marcia Hacker donated a TV for the Friendship Center, and there's a DVD player so people will be able to watch movies. Kim and Lorraine donated the TV in the lobby, which will be used for announcements. There is beautiful new artwork on the walls in the Friendship Center, thanks to the ingenuity of Kim Finneson and the artistry of Marcia Hacker. Gwen Tisdale designed and made the gorgeous hands wall hanging. Thanks to a generous donation by an anonymous donor, 120 new chairs were purchased for the Friendship Center. The donation also paid for automatic door openers for the restrooms, which will be installed soon. In honor of my mother, who passed away last year, I made a donation that essentially covered the cost of decorations in the Friendship Center. I know my mom would have been very pleased. And now it is my honor to recognize our volunteers who gave their time so lovingly, as well as often contributing financially to many of the special projects. Kim and Lorraine Finneson, Barb and Jerry Fuller, Tom and Marcia Hacker, who are at their lake house, Pastor Mark, Justin Stevens, and Gwen Tisdale. Will all of you please stand? They have truly completed a labor of love. And now there is one more special recognition. It is with great appreciation that I want to acknowledge Kim Finneson. This project would not have been possible without Kim. He has worked the hardest of anyone and devoted more hours than anyone else. There have been many weeks when he was here working at least 40 hours a week. Kim is a jack of all trades and truly a master of all of them. If Kim can't figure out how to fix something, nobody can. His capacity for figuring out how to do things is amazing. From removing the bathroom stall doors, sanding them down to the metal, and repainting them, to developing a stencil for the artwork on the walls in the Friendship Center, to installing the TVs, and with countless other projects in between, Kim has been invaluable. As our production manager, Kim has facilitated keeping everyone connected with Mayflower through the past 14 months of COVID, and we will continue this wonderful service for those unable to attend in person. Kim, would you please come up here? Huh?
Ha ha ha. This is a very this is a very small token of our appreciation for all that you've done.
Well, thank you.
Obviously, we're doing this a little different than we have before, and we all understand it's a little different protocol, but it doesn't feel like it this morning when I look out and see all of you today. So as a symbolic act of the giving of ourselves, our tithes and offerings, we listen to the doxology we played on the piano. Let us pray. Eternal God and merciful Lord, we are happy, we are joyful, we are glad, and we are excited because we have heard those words once again. Let us go into the house of the Lord. So we pause right now, Lord, to give you thanks. You have heard our cries, and you have heard our prayers. So, we also pause to remember loved ones lost as a result of the pandemic. Healthcare workers everywhere who have worked tirelessly and sacrificially, some of whom are no longer with us. The vast multitude of people who have risked their lives in caring for others, providing essential services and goods, scientists and epidemiologists who have helped guide us through these trying times, and many who have worked around the clock to produce a vaccine which is helping to bring back normalcy into our lives and into our church. We pray for those whose lives have been permanently altered economically, psychologically, emotionally, and spiritually. That includes churches around the globe, including Mayflower. But now we pray, O God, that instead of continuing to dwell on all that has been lost and what might have changed, we pray that you would help us to believe that all things, while not all good, will work together for good to those who love you. Thank you for calling all of us according to your purpose. Help us to know that our ability to love does not depend on understanding all mysteries or indeed all motives, but in any of our fear, our doubt, and our uncertainty, we bring our faith, fragile and incomplete as it is, to you, and to say with courage and conviction, O Lord, that we love you. And we cannot say that, O Lord, without loving those for whom you came, our neighbors, whoever they are. Some of those, our neighbors, we desperately need to learn how to love, in that there are those for whom we pray who are easy to love. Some for whom we pray now. Lord, we pray for Linda Williams in her continuing struggle with pain and the associated difficulties. We pray for Vance Vassallo, who suffered a fall and is now recovering and who depends on the kindness and goodness of his family. Be with all of them and bring him back to health. Be with Laura Anderson in her pain and her grief and her loneliness, as well as her health. Be with Bob Grass, who continues to get better, but still suffers from lack of sleep and discomfort. For Yvonne Nelson, who is improving after having COVID. For Paula Kay and daughter Kara, who struggle with cancer. For my dear friend and mentor, Reverend Terry Bobzien, who has gone through surgery successfully. For that, we praise your name. And now also, Lord, for the family of our dear Ardith Scheffel, and for the family of Dad, Loyal Dean, and for other names, the first names that we mention now. Help us to pray, O God, without ceasing, not only with our words, but with our love, our faithfulness, our kindness, and our compassion. Help us to pray not only for one another, but with one another as we pray what we have been taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Already
Morning. It's so wonderful to see all of you, and it is a dream come true for us to see you here in this church with us. Today's Old Testament reading is from Psalm 122. Because of the uniqueness of this day, Pastor Mark has chosen a passage of Scripture that is not included in the lectionary readings for this Sunday, the second Sunday of Pentecost. There is nothing more appropriate for this day than the 122nd Psalm. So hear now these words. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together. To it the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For there the thrones for judgment were set up, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For the sake of my relatives and friends, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, I'm a basket case. Please help. Amen. Somewhere in here, I wrote a sermon. I'm going to take a few personal moments here today. I have all of you to thank, every single one of you. And a host of other people who are not here today for whatever reason. I don't think there's a pastor anywhere that is more fortunate and blessed than I am and have been and will continue to be. And I don't like to embarrass people, but I'm going to have to take a risk. First of all, And this won't come as embarrassment. We've all learned new things. As you've already heard, Kim Finneson has led the charge in how we do things differently and preach into that camera. Now I'm going to look into your faces. And although it's been great, and we will continue to preach into that camera, your faces do something for me that that camera will never do. But for all of you watching online, God has blessed the ministry of online worship and will continue to do so at Mayflower. I'd like to thank my worship team, our worship team, which includes the people you see up here, Barb and Jerry, and some of the liturgists that have served, including Gail and others, some of you sitting out there. Kim has a wife whose name is Lorraine. I don't think there's a person here that doesn't know what Lorraine does for all of us. And I've told her many times, and I say again this morning, I could not do what I do without the help and support and communication and loving care that is offered to me by Lorraine Finneson. So thank you, Lorraine. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but we have new members among us this morning, and they're seated right out there, and it's Randy and Charmaine Hull, and they've been watching faithfully online. Some of you saw the online service where they became excitedly for us, new members at Mayflower. Welcome, Randy and Charmaine. It is our greatest blessing. And if there was anybody that I hoped would be here today, it was you two. So thank you. Thank you to all of our musicians, including the songs that have been played this morning and sung, how it has blessed us, blessed me, and blessed you, and will continue to do that. We are blessed, Mayflower, as you already know. Our lay leaders that have carried us through, Barb Fuller and Gail Sawyer, they've been amazing. Helping us. Been a lot of work that's gone in this week, but I can't tell you how many cards and letters and notes of encouragement and many other things that have come my way. And folks, it's happened with all of you in different ways, and I want to say a big thank you. Even if it's just a smile of encouragement to your pastor, those things mean the absolute world to me. And if you don't have a smile on your face, then I'll just consider it a smile in your heart. Sometimes life gets a hold of us. The person I would like to thank the most, well, wait a minute, I'm not there yet. Another person that's been in this pulpit since the pandemic is my brother-in-law, Paul Patton, who's right back with us today, and his loving wife, Beth, just a few weeks ago. We allowed a few people in because they said they wanted to be here when Paul Patton was preaching. And that continues to be the case. And Paul and Beth, just tell you, you are no longer a brother-in-law, you're my brother. You are the brother I've never, ever had, Paul, and I thank you. And I'm so happy to have you and Beth with us today as we look forward to the day of both sadness and happiness as we celebrate the life of Loyal Dean tomorrow, my father-in-law, who passed away, a World War II veteran, appropriately so, on Memorial Day. How about that? Somebody saw it in the paper, presented me with that obituary. It was so beautifully written, and that service is wide open. If anybody is able to come, it will be at the Lansing Central Free Methodist Church at the corner of Oakland and Washington tomorrow at 1 o'clock, following by an open graveside service at Deepdale Cemetery, where he joins his loving wife, Arlene, Mom, who passed away earlier. And I would be horribly remiss if I didn't tell you about the person that has done it for me for a long time. 10 years. And she's sitting over in the piano. And, sweetheart, I couldn't do it without you. Lorraine told me one time, she said, got to tell you, Pastor Mark, the smartest thing you ever did was introduce us to your wife. Amen. All right, here we go. Most of the communities where I lived growing up were rural. Going to town was a big deal. My earliest memories were in the state of Washington when I moved from Rockford, Illinois, where I was born. Oh, by the way, I've got my sister and her husband, my brother-in-law and brother, Chris and George Kimmich, I get it right, I hear it different on Siri. They are with us today. They were here for my mom's birthday party back in October of, oh, that must have been 2019. Chris and George, what a pleasant surprise. So when I was thinking about my earliest memories, I thought it was her, Chris and her twin sister Karen that were with me when I was 9 months old. We moved from Rockford, Illinois to a little community in Sunnyside, Washington, and going to town was going to Yakima, Washington. Anybody ever heard of Yakima? You might see it when you order or buy some apples sometimes. If Michigan apples are kind of thin on the vine, you buy that Washington apples. When we lived in a little community of Orville, Washington, that butted right up on the Canadian border, a community of just 1,200 or so, we would travel to Spokane to shop, which was 3 hours away. Big deal. It was a big deal. When we lived in Sumner, we made our way to Tacoma, Washington, or on some occasions to Seattle, a magnificent city where I saw the progress of the construction of the Space Needle, which was the crown jewel for the 1962 World's Fair. Anybody ever attend the World's Fair in 62? All right. By the way, that was when the Campground of America started. Everybody was coming to the World's Fair, and some entrepreneur said, I think we need campgrounds. But my father would always remind me of our Midwestern, of his Midwestern roots. And because of his description, I couldn't wait to make the pilgrimage to the cities of Chicago and Detroit, where my parents spent their earliest years. Dad in Chicago and Mom in Detroit. And that day finally came in 1964. Chris, you remember this, when we took our vacation. I was 10 years old. Some generous person in the church gave all of us kids $5 for that vacation. And I want to tell you, that $5 was a lot of money for a 10-year-old, a son of a pastor. In 1964, I had 37 cents when I came home, and I was proud of that. And my father was unusually animated as we drove through Chicago, which I saw for the first time in what is called and is still there, the Chicago Skyway. And he narrated all the sights, including a breathtaking view of Lake Michigan that I had seen for the first time. I'll never forget it. We also visited Detroit, then, can you believe it, the fifth largest city in the United States, where my parents were married in 1950. I will never forget the visit to the Verner's Bottling Company, where we enjoyed a sample of it with cream or something white in it at the end of the tour. And during my later teenage years, we lived halfway between those two cities in Sherwood, Michigan, and we made continuing pilgrimages to Chicago when we went to see Wrigley Field to watch the Cubs. My dad was a Cub fan, and when they won the World Series in 2016, I could hear my dad yelling. Or we went downtown and shopped, visited museums, and watched the progress of the construction of the John Hancock Building and the Sears Tower. We also made trips to Detroit, where my mother would always point out the Fisher Tower. You know where that is. Some of you grew up in Detroit, where she worked as an elevator operator during her college years. She was proud of that. She still is proud of that. Those are precious, joy-filled memories for me. And I was glad to have made pilgrimages to those cities that are so important to my family roots. There was another pilgrimage I was privileged to make in 1983. On the fourth day or so of our tour, we took the gondola to Masada, where 900 Jews committed suicide rather than to surrender to the Romans in 66. We swam in the Dead Sea, showered on the beach with our swimsuits on to remove the brine from our bodies. Then we boarded a bus, first through Jericho, you know, where Zacchaeus was up in the tree as Jesus came through, then north into the Jordan River Valley. It was hot, which finally turned west and began a laborious slow drive uphill, which seemed to last forever. It was hot, The air conditioning on the bus was barely working. But as we approached the crest of the mountain, our guide drew attention to our right and said, "There is the Mount of Olives," as we passed through the village of Bethany, where the home was of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. The Mount of Olives. As we looked out the window, we noticed that the diesel engine quieted as it lazily crested that ridge. Then we heard the words spoken softly of our guide as he directed our attention straight ahead. "Ladies and gentlemen," he said, "Jerusalem. Not a cloud in the sky, and the setting sun casting a glow as we looked straight ahead at the eastern gate of what we call the holy city. We often sing about that." And I didn't expect my reaction, which was the same as everyone else on the bus. Total silence as we were all wiping tears from our face. I had no idea that that would happen to me also. The setting of Psalm 122 is a pilgrimage to that holy city, Jerusalem. There is an oft-repeated command in the Hebrew Scriptures to appear before the Lord. This was in relationship to three religious festivals: the Feast of Tabernacles, the Festival of Weeks, and of course, the Passover. These involved a pilgrimage to Jerusalem to appear before the Lord. Now, what is theologically significant about this for today? First is the idea of mountains. The pilgrimage is an upward journey. Jerusalem is on a mountain. It is where the temple is. It is where God is. And by the way, mountains are mentioned 570 times in the Bible. Noah's Ark landed on Mount Ararat, we are told. Moses received the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. Jesus ascended the Mount of Olives and then said he would return there also. Jesus was transfigured high on a mountain. Elijah's religious experiences are associated with Mount Carmel near the modern-day city of Haifa on the northern coast. Jesus gave his famous sermon on a mountain. And Jerusalem is, if you didn't know this, it's Zion, Mount Zion. That's where we get that word. That is why we associate the great events of our lives with what we call mountaintop experiences. I had a mountaintop experience 4 years ago when Lorraine texted me while I was on a Mexican mission trip in June of 2017. It was June the 18th, telling me that a unanimous vote was taken at Mayflower to call me as your pastor. I had a mountaintop experience when Deanne finally asked me to marry her. And I know she would want me to give you an explanation for that. As you know and can imagine, I had already made up my mind. If I was lucky enough, I was going to have Deanne for a wife, but I was ready before she was. So I told her if it was going to happen, she would have to ask me. And she did. I had a mountaintop experience during that moment. I was glad when she said unto me, "Marry me, Mark." It was after a conversation with a family member that had the most difficulty to think that I might be replacing the father. I have also had some literal mountaintop experiences. You've heard them. One of which was when I summited Mount Adams, commemorating the climb my father had made 47 years earlier on that same mountain. I hope to repeat that experience just 9 days from now as I venture back there with my son Bryce. You pray for me, okay? If none the least, my safety, but I'll be all right. But I want to tell you, when I consider this, I was glad when my son said to me, "Dad, I'd love to climb Mount Adams with you." The second aspect of theological significance is pilgrimage. In an article by Catholic theologian Deborah Lubov, she states that a basic definition of a pilgrimage would be a journey made on foot or by other means to a site of particular religious significance. She goes on to suggest, however, that that definition ignores the more profound questions and motivations behind a pilgrimage. Humanity inherently has a curiosity and a desire to ask the most profound questions of our existence and experience as human beings. What does it mean to be fully human? What is the aim and meaning of our lives? What is moral good and what is sin? Why do innocent people have to suffer? That's one for all of us. What is the road to true happiness? What about judgment and retribution after death? These are the significant ingredients of a pilgrimage we make. The third aspect is that of invitation. In today's reading from Psalm 122, the writer is responding to the invitation to go to the house of the Lord. And I trust that that's why you are here this morning, because you heard that invitation once again. Let's go into the house of the Lord. And in the psalm, we read that the invitation was received with gladness and joy. The psalmist in chapter 24, verse 3, asks the question, "Who shall ascend the mountain of the Lord, and who shall stand in the holy place?" In that same psalm, the question is answered, that of the highest ideals of the human heart, those who desire clean hands and a pure heart, and will join with others of like mind in seeking God. In some sense, it encompasses all of humanity. There is a universal desire to seek blessing, vindication, or indeed validation for who we are. For sure, many are looking in the wrong place. But one of the ingredients of love is to think and assume that everyone is looking for that. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all sinned and fallen far short of God's glory. But we have all been invited to join the journey to the mountain, which is the location of the house of God, the temple of God, the sanctuary of God. The natural question then becomes, and it was asked by the psalmist and sung in the Messiah, who is this King of glory? The answer the psalmist gives, the Lord of hosts, it is He who is the King of glory. In our understanding, and in our faith, God has sent us our King, who came in the form of a servant, and He has shown us the way to God. He is the Christ. In today's reading, the psalmist describes Jerusalem as a place of peace. The word Jerusalem should be pronounced Jerusalem. It's a place of peace. That is the invitation that you responded to today. It's the one I've responded to. A long-awaited invitation of a return to the house of the Lord. This is a place of peace, a place of joy, a place of safety. Unfortunately, it hasn't always been that way for Jerusalem, as we have seen in recent days. It is the most fought over and divided city in the world. And the church, of course, hasn't always been a place of peace. Every church, including this one, has a few ghost stories to tell. While there is a destination, that being the city of God, we are on a journey, a pilgrimage, seeking peace, safety, and justice, and unity in a community, as the psalmist says, that is bound firmly together. Not in architecture only, but in spirit and purpose. Jerusalem is the symbol of the ultimate quest for peace with God. It is also a symbol of the place of God. So we pray and we work for the peace of Jerusalem. When I stood at the Wailing Wall, that's exactly what I prayed. That was some years ago. But I prayed for the peace of Jerusalem. Maybe those prayers haven't been fully answered. While we do not know all the answers or the unfathomable riches or mysteries of God, we will also pray for the peace, unity, and continued success of Mayflower, our place. God's place. There are lots of symbols in this sanctuary, none the least of which is the cross, the banners, the piano, the pulpit, the lectern, the bells, the altar, the communion table, and countless others, including the pews where you sit. And by the way, those sitting in those pews are the ones for whom through Christ loves us. This is our place, and this is God's place. In other parts of the building, you will see new and updated symbols that Gail has already pointed out. Due to the tireless efforts of many and the faithful, generous support and prayers of all of you, we will use these symbols to nurture and to expand God's gracious kingdom. I was glad when they said, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." I want to tell you, folks, it's been a good thing for me to be preaching every Sunday here, but I couldn't wait for this day. Now, I know that God has been with you as you worshiped in your homes. I've heard many of you testify to that. We know that God is found everywhere, but we have journeyed, we have pilgrimed, we are pilgrims to the house of the Lord. Others will join, and in so doing, we will have been to the mountain of God. Thanks be to God. Peace be within you. Amen.
Us with a mighty cord, we seldom feel or see. This tie with our creating Lord links all eternally. Each life a thread joined in the whole, our gathered destinies. So God the weaver knits our souls in one great tapestry. In trying times, God's steadfast light shines on a world in need and leads all people to unite with healing words and deeds. We yearn to feel the Spirit, then find God in tragedy. The strangers transform into friends in holy unity. The face of evil we perceive in desperate deeds and crimes lies deep in all humanity, our burden throughout time. Will dark seeds bloom or dormant lie? The choice each soul's to make. The void of night or mercy's light, where patiently God waits. As followers of countless ways, yet children of one Lord, diverse commandments we obey, responding to God's word. Still praise we, oh, the Lord of life, so many voices heard. To claim again this fragile tie that unifies our world. For God maintains no border lines to limit each one's place, but cherishes a grand design transcending nation. All life comes from this holy source, one God through time and space, one author who alone brings forth, lives drawn in lines of grace. Couple
of other acknowledgments that I forgot. Not long ago, I got a typewritten card that came to me in the mail. And I kind of had an idea, because it was typewritten, who it might be. And it was a card with a beautiful decoration on it, and I opened the card, and it said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." And I turned to my wife and I said, "I've got it. That's my sermon." Ruth Posh, thank you for that. And do I see Marjorie Cook out here today? Marjorie, I can't tell you how good it is to see you and to see you in church. I am so happy that you're here. Okay, good. I'm so good to see you doing good, Marjorie. Bless you. And now, may the peace of God that passes all understanding rule in all of our hearts and lives, may this sanctuary be a place of safety, of love, of compassion. May it be the sanctuary of God. And in all of our attempts, including your pastor, to make it that way, I sometimes fail, but I'll keep trying. And I know you will too. Amen.
Thanksgiving to you, ever living. The tasks of our everyday life we will face. Our faith ever sharing, in love ever caring, embracing your children of each tribe and race. With your feet you feed us, with your light you lead us, unite us as one in this life that we share. Then may all the living with praise and thanksgiving give honor to Christ and his name that we bear.
One more, folks. I'm not losing it, but I can be forgetful. I've had 5 wonderful lay leaders since I've been here, and they've all been just wonderful in their own way and with their own gifts. Sometimes it gets difficult in terms of communication and organization and collaboration, and the list goes on. I would like to lead a round of applause for Gail Sawyer. Got to tell you, she has, you know, she has been a Catholic through most of her life, and when she first started coming to Mayflower, she said, actually was attending the Bible study, Gail said to me, "Would you allow Catholics into your church?" And I said, "What? Of course." And Gail has become, in addition to honoring her former tradition, she's been a wonderful Congregationalist. So here's what we have to say now. We ask you to, we know we're going to want to speak and express love and care. And if you are aware that 2 people are vaccinated, we're not going to be police people here this morning. But we do want to exercise a degree of social distance as well as responsibility. Once again, offering plates. If you were not able to give and you would like to today, you're welcome to make your way into the social hall. And I would encourage, since we have an opportunity to stand at a little distance and look around, and Kim and Lorraine will be there to be your host and hostess. And take a look at the television screen in the Friendship Center. And then we'll have at least a little bit of time to get your cookies as you go out the lobby door. And I will take off my robe and we'll get a little more comfortable, and we can, extend our greetings in the parking lot as the sweat rolls down our face. Doesn't matter today, folks. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Amen.